ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Edie McClurg joins us for Mondays with McClurg. But now I didn't have to go anywhere or be groped by the TSA. So that's right
yep.
there. It's a.
Yep, I just drove.
I was only groped by people I know. I hate to start with a name dropping story, but. It is kind of funny in the sense that, you know, when I do get invited out somewhere, mm-hmm. I'm never really invited again. Because I can't. I'm just sort of a big geek.
Okay, what happens?
Sometimes I get invited to exciting things, and then I make a complete ass of myself. And
okay.
then I'm never invited out again.
What guest are we never going to have on again?
well, where do I start? It's quite a vast... I went for post-Thanksgiving. I was invited for post-Thanksgiving, I don't know, what drinks, dessert, whatever, at a sort of a power Hollywood lesbian kind of thing. It was, anyway, probably Lily Tomlin never again.
Oh, boy.
She's, well, you know, my hero. And so I tend to geek out, even though I've known her for 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you had a little Thanksgiving wine, and suddenly you're like, did I really ask her to do Edith Ann? And did I really just recite her lines to her from 9 to 5 and All of Me? And then you know when you've hit your, like, Chris Farley SNL moment, when you're like, remember that time in Incredible Shrinking Woman when you fell down the garbage disposal?
Concepcion! Did she hit you in the chest?
No. She's punched you. She's not that happy to see me. She was that happy to meet you that she actually punched you.
But,
yeah. So I don't. I can't really contain myself when I meet people that I. Oh, and then Meredith Baxter Burney showed up, and I was like, Mrs. Keaton's here.
No.
And it's you're not supposed to say that.
No, you're not.
No.
She's done stuff since then, you know.
Well, I know, but it's just people that you've idolized. You kind of like oh. You know, and that's why I can't. I'm too.
Well, what if they came up to you and said, "Look, it's the morning show girl from that New York station."
No, but no one says that because no one admires me.
Well,
all right. So, anyway, but then you know what the great what's the great equalizer? Children. Then I spent the rest of the weekend with my best friend came down with her two kids, 11 and 15.
Oh, cool.
And you can, and if you're already not feeling like a big loser geek, kids will do that to you.
Yes.
Well, you know me, I don't know anything. First of all, they're never off their computers and Facebook. And here, I learned something new.
What?
Sims. Have you seen this?
Yes.
Well, I haven't. I don't have children.
It's been around for like 10 years now.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it's creepy. She made a, well, Tess, the 11-year-old.
Yeah.
She made a Sims, I don't know, you know, a virtual me?
Yeah.
Because I think the real me is so lacking in many ways. So she created a virtual me that she liked better. So she mostly was spending time with the virtual me this weekend, who can cook and do other stuff that I can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So did the Sim...
But yeah, they're on the Facebook all the time. Yeah. What? Taylor, the 15-year-old, got up in the middle of the night. I'm like, what are you doing up? Because she usually likes to sleep in. And she's like, oh, well, I got an alert from Facebook that something's going on. Something. There's something that's like, you know, like things that only dogs can hear.
Yeah.
There's teenagers. There's some sort of Facebook kind of like, oh, Facebook is calling. What could be that important to a 15-year-old in the middle of the night that on going on Facebook?
You send out alerts at 3 a.m.
Of course I do. Well, that's different.
When I get up.
Anyway, yeah, but it just literally like you couldn't get online in my house because everybody, because this is what the new society is now, because everybody was on their laptop. So we weren't really interacting with each other. We were sort of, you know, well, Tess was interacting with the Sims version of me, and then Taylor was on Facebook. And
your Wi-Fi was working overtime.
Yes.
I'm sure with all of
that. I couldn't
get
on my own internet. I'm like, somebody get off! Damn Sims, get off of that so I can get on my email.
Yeah, I don't get the Sims. I know.
I don't get it. It's
I know
creepy.
I know it exists, but I don't.
It's creepy. Well,
it's
kind of
like Farmville on Facebook. I just don't get that. I don't understand.
Yeah. Well, first of all, kids, it's like I've mentioned this before, and this is just I'm not a parent, obviously, but it seems like sort of a 24-hour, like 24/7 hostage crisis. There's a lot of demands and a lot of like I was barely because you know me before the coffee.
Yeah.
In the morning, and Tess was already like, I want pancakes, and I'm like, I don't even, you know me. I don't even have, what?
You have rice crackers and cheese in the house.
I don't even know how to make pancakes. I'm like, why don't you make the Sims me make pancakes and enjoy your virtual pancakes? I'll be upstairs having my coffee.
You have rice crackers and a can of soup.
And then she's just like, kids, and then it was like, by the way, my birthday is in 9 days. I will be 12. Feel free to send me a gift. I'm like, okay. It's just like it's a series of demands.
She was a little grabby, wasn't she?
This is the whole children thing. It's just 24/7. We had to go to a movie. Oh, and then they question your taste in movies. Somehow Toy Story came up, and they're like, she said, you haven't seen Toy Story 3? I was like, no. And she said, this is what happens when you don't have kids.
Yeah. I don't have kids, and I saw it. It was a really good movie.
Apparently. Biggest loser in the world because I haven't seen Toy Story 3.
It was a really good movie.
But they look at you like you have, you know, like you're from Mars. You're like, they're like, what? I'm not even talking to you. You didn't see Toy Story 3? Anyway, we saw Burlesque, and I thought it was fabulous. I was really mad at the people in the theater because they were laughing in the wrong places. I was like, stop it. That's mean.
What do you expect with a movie like that?
It was fun. Like, you don't go for the acting. It's the Christina Aguilera. You're like, wow, well, look at her. She can sing and dance. I could have done with, like, less than 67 musical numbers. I kind of got it. Shake your ass. Thing. Got it. Okay.
It's a movie for
sequins,
the gays.
Sequins, feathers, got it.
It's a movie for the gays. Come on.
Well, I sort of, you get it. You don't need 17,000 musical numbers. But who doesn't love to see Cher belt one last one out?
One last one?
Well, I mean, it just was, you know what I'm saying? I thought it was fun. There were people laughing in the right. I felt like going, stop it! Stop being mean to Cher! All right.
Were they treating it like people treat showgirls?
Yes. They were
like, There you go.
Yeah, and my friend and I were like, why are they laughing? I don't get why people are laughing here. What's... Yes, the acting was bad. Yes, the dialogue was horrible. Yes, it was crappy. But that wasn't why you go. You go to, right, for the show.
For the spectacle.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
All right. Give me some listener comedy music. In case you did travel this weekend, I didn't. But Wayne sent me the new TSA bumper stickers. Do you have one of these? I have several on my car. Can't see London, can't see France unless we see your underpants. Grope discounts available. That's funny. If we did our job any better, we'd have to buy you dinner first.
Hmm.
Don't worry, my hands are still warm from the last guy. Ew. It's not a grope, it's freedom, Pat. There you go.
All right.
Better deal with your TSA groping. Oh, and then we got talking about dogs, that we should do it because dogs, to me, the answer to everything. Hello.
Dogs don't ask for pancakes.
Pardon me? Oh, my friend brought her two Sharpays. What is that? What is a Sharpay?
Sharpays are cute.
My dogs didn't even know what they were. They were scared of them. And my dogs are like weigh 1,000 pounds, mm-hmm. and they're these little wrinkly walrus type things.
Sharpays are normal sized.
Yeah, but they need to be ironed. Something. They look like Brit Hume. They really do. They're very Anyway, so I'm saying in general, dogs are the answer to everything. Scott sent us some fun facts. Steph and Chris. We've mentioned this. This would be that you don't need the cancer-causing machines and the pat-downs and the, you know.
Whatever.
And the Flavin. Okay. Steph and Chris, why solve a problem that we already have a perfect solution for? Dogs are better than any technology we have for finding explosives and drugs. Some fun facts. A recent episode of Mythbusters, do you watch?
Yes.
Okay. It tested sniffer dogs. The show tried everything they could to fool dogs. The dogs never failed. Red herring, actual fish. Scentless clothing and masks to contain breath odor, containers of cheese, scented candles, even when the target material was hidden inside a dirty diaper that had been fermented for a week in a diaper bag. Sealed in a plastic bag, surrounded by other dirty diapers, and hidden on a shelf in a warehouse full of smelly items, the dog found the target.
Huh.
Yeah. There's these stories about all these, the drug-sniffing dogs, that they never get fooled. The drug dealers try everything, putting stuff in perfume and whatever in the dogs.
But Michael Chertoff can't make money from drug-sniffing dogs.
That's exactly it. That's the point. You stole Scott's point. There's no money. Follow the money.
Exactly. Are you okay?
Yes. Dogs are now believed to be able to smell diseases like cancer in humans before technology can find it. This is true. A dog would simply have to sniff a person for a second. Done. No pat-downs, no shoe removal, no scans needed, reduced time in line. Dogs love this. They never get sick of it. It's fun for them. They get rewarded. They please their handlers. They aren't surly employees. It's true.
Mm.
No dog will train with Al-Qaeda and then get a job with the TSA and let someone he knows pass through with explosives. They are not corruptible. Well, except for cheese.
Oh.
But if we, you know,
I'm
if that's
corruptible
could be
with cheese.
You're corruptible with anything because you're a treacherous bastard. But my point is, yes, cheese is dangerous. That's the main thing we need to keep out of
there. And it's delicious.
Yeah. Mm. Millions of dogs are available free at shelters across the country for the work. They cost almost nothing, and many of them would be saved from certain death. Dogs can also be used to sniff the cargo in the suitcases. Mm-hmm. Good point. It's simple. It's cheap. It benefits everybody. It actually works and would nearly flawless. Why isn't it being done? If the ASPCA had $5 million, $5 billion probably,
yeah,
to donate to politicians, maybe it would be. Scott in Ithaca, New York, a problem solver. We're problem solvers here.
And they don't demand pancakes in the morning.
Exactly. Thank you for bringing that magically full circle. Do all parents have bullhorns? How do you deal with the constant hostage demands? I don't.
What? Well, your dogs demand a lot.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
They've never asked for pancakes. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, you've heard me talk about how excited I am by Cedarside.com and their natural flea and tick killer for my pets. Did you know that Cedarside.com's Best Yet Bug Killer Spray was originally formulated for the U.S. military back in 2006? Unfortunately, this breakthrough technology ended up stuck on the Dick desk. Yes, that's right. Dick Cheney didn't want to deploy a non-chemical, non-toxic technology to our troops. Why did Dick Cheney hate the troops and love the sand fleas so much? Who knows? But seriously, Cedarside's Best Yet is so good, even Dick couldn't stop it. For pet owners who want flea and tick relief without poisoning your pets with those spot-on treatments, or if you're dealing with the bed bug epidemic, you must get your hands on Cedarside's Best Yet Flea, Tick, and Bed Bug Killer Spray. Deadly to fleas, ticks, and bed bugs, completely safe for people, pets, and the planet. Don't dick around. Get Cedarside's Best Yet today at Cedarside.com. That's Cedarcide. Or call 800-842-1464. That's 800-842-1464.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. Our usual rollicking Monday show. We will be speaking to the Rude Pundit in just mere moments. Eric Bollert from Media Matters, co-host Right Wing World next hour. And Edie McClurg in for another delightful Mondays with McClurg.
Yep.
Oh, awesome hate letter in just a second. Dan and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Dan.
Welcome. Morning, Mama. Morning, Moose.
Good morning, baby.
I mean, you know, just hearing about the TSA thing still makes me angry.
Yeah.
I mean, 2% of people are being groped, but 98% of people are being seen naked as they're walking through the scanners in some airports, which means that 13-year-old daughters are being seen naked, 2-year-old sons are being seen naked. I think for the safety of our Congress, we should put the same scanners out in front of the House and the Senate.
Ew, that's going to be nationwide
enough,
nausea
right?
To see most Congress people naked. Yikes. Donde los, yikes. All right, can I have some hate letter music?
Sure.
This is nice. I am thankful for this letter in the Thanksgiving season. You know what I'm saying? A really awesome hate letter is hard to die.
Yeah.
It's hard to, I'm sorry.
Hard
that's,
to die?
I'm reading the end of it, where he hopes I die.
Yes.
It's hard to find. Well, I mean, the subject line is hopeful to me because, you know, I'm a happy, clappy liberal. I'm a glass half full person.
Yeah.
It just says, wow, your show.
Wow.
Which could mean anything. Wow, that's good bass.
Yeah.
It could be a compliment. Wow.
Wow.
Like
I have explosive
know.
Diarrhea from those chips.
Yeah, like when you wear something particularly risky. Somebody, wow, how does this look on me? Wow. And it could be. Wow, that's... Wow. So...
Alestra chips were named Wow.
Yes. Which I think is ill-named for anything that causes explosive diarrhea.
Yeah.
That they might have rethought that.
Sure.
They might have taken that back and spitballed that a little longer.
You'd think.
In the old boardroom. Okay, Jack. Jack writes, Wow! Your show in big letters. A friend of mine told me to tune you guys in. He said I wouldn't believe it. Still, you don't know what this means. It could just be, wow, that is something, that show. He was right. What a bunch of anti-American liberal pap.
Mm.
What is pap? I don't really exactly know what that means.
I think he meant pablum.
Did he?
I think, yeah.
All I know is it's clearly a smear. It's clearly a pap smear against the show.
Is the word pap a word by itself?
Yes. What a bunch of anti-American liberal pap.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie Miller has to be one of the dumbest on the airwaves.
C word.
Yes.
I'm familiar with that word.
Yes, the big word.
Yes.
The big one. I may not be the dumbest one. You know what I'm saying?
No.
That's debatable. Whether I'm actually the dumbest. And the other thing is the dumbest on the airwave.
Just one.
Maybe he doesn't realize there's more than one wave. Maybe that's why he thinks I'm the dumbest. Because he doesn't realize that they're actually plural, that they're actually airwaves. Maybe this is the only wave he found, and he just said, wow, that's the dumbest on that airwave.
That's kind of unfortunate for him.
On the airwave.
Okay.
You know, Jack, that knob, it actually turns, and then there's other shows on. There's other things, other waves.
On different waves.
On the airwaves.
Right.
Perhaps your button, sadly for you, is stuck on this dumb show, on this wave right here. I encourage you to find other waves.
Sure.
I just can't believe people actually listen to that horrible... Oh, well... Wow. How do I describe that word? That's the T word for a woman's... Same area. Same area.
Okay.
Same female area.
Oh, dear.
It's the TW word for that area. Okay.
Yes.
You know what? People actually do listen to this horrible... Mm-hmm. No wonder you people have to be funded by uber-elite rich socialists like Soros and his ilk.
Not funded by Soros. Would love
Wish
to be.
Wish I was. Wow. Okay. I would even take someone of George Soros's ilk. To fund me. I don't know.
A lesser
Soros. Is there
Soros.
Someone? Exactly. Is there someone of his ilk
that could
give me some sugar?
We could be a children of a lesser Soros.
Some ilk. Somebody. Hello. Is there any uber elite ilk that would like to fund us? You people make me sick.
Hmm.
Oh, now you got thrown into this. Now
it's not
just the dumb. Now it's you, my friend.
Well, he sent it to me. Well, how come he didn't send it to you? It's...
I don't know.
Huh.
You people make me sick. I hope you die.
Oh.
And that's it.
No.
From Jack. No.
No. Send off. No.
No salutation. No greeting or salutation. No.
Nothing.
Goodbye. Just a little death wish there. All right. Put that in the file over there.
Put that in the FBI file, maybe? Since there was kind of a death threat in there.
I have had a bad weekend, but at least I didn't take an elbow to the lip to playing basketball.
That is true.
Wow, is the president having a bad year? 12 stitches in his lip?
Yeah.
And North Korea's getting frisky over the...
And he's meeting with the Republicans tomorrow.
Oh, he is
and
not... You think you're having a bad year.
And WikiLeaks.
Oh, excuse me?
Huh?
Oh, I thought I was having an incontinence thing again. Yes, we will talk about
that.
And to the Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sorry for
Stephanie Miller.
This is where broadcast careers go to die.
I said dead careers.
Well, if you keep broadcasting this pap.
On this airwave.
Mm-hmm.
Like the dumb that I am. 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, it's nothing like starting a new fresh week, a new Monday with a good hate letter.
Yes.
That ends in a death wish for me. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. It's Monday. Let's get ready.
It's Lee Papa, the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
Mmm, Good morning, Papa.
Good morning, Stephanie.
How was your Thanksgiving, Precious?
My Thanksgiving was delightful. I actually went to the parade.
Oh, you did?
I did.
The Macy's. Uh-huh.
The Macy's parade, just to see what it looked like, to see a giant SpongeBob look like it was about to eat buildings.
Yes.
It was great.
Yes. They don't have genitals, do they, any of the giant balloons?
Oh, yeah, they all do.
Do they?
Oh, yeah, they all do. And the worst is when, like, a Dora the Explorer passes over, and you're like, oh no, why did they do? Dora doesn't need camel toe.
But they all have pants on except for Donald Duck.
That's true.
Mm.
Your rudeness, you were tweeting about the WikiLeaks.
I've been
drunk for most of the weekend, being at Thanksgiving. You've basically been saying that this is not necessarily anything new. I know they're saying this is, you know, obviously the right wing's going crazy.
Well, and I don't know why the right wing would go crazy, considering that some of the stuff that they're that seems to actually bolster right wing cases, like everybody in the Middle East hates Iran, and they want to bomb Iran, and China turns out they really are just evil MFs, you know, that are trying to cyber attack us through officials in the Chinese government, because what was it? One Chinese official wanted a cyber attack on the United States because he Googled something, and he Googled his name. He Googled himself and found out somebody said something mean about him.
Uh-oh. You know, I think I mentioned before the break, I spent Thanksgiving holidays with an 11-year-old, who's my best friend's child, and these days in school, they're learning Chinese. So only the 11-year-olds can save us now. I'm like, please help me when the Chinese take us over. Please, you're the only one that will be able to speak Chinese. Please help your elderly.
Well, they'll be like our overseers.
Auntie.
The Chinese will hire the children to be our overseers so they can translate to our enslaved population.
She's only up to one thing so far. Ni hao! That's all I heard all weekend. So at least I know how to say hello when they come to take us over.
And it just sounds so aggressive, doesn't it? Not to be, you know, never mind.
It's not soothing.
There's nowhere to go that's not racist with this.
Ni hao just sounds like we're calling in our markers, doesn't it?
Yes. What I loved about the WikiLeaks documents is I love just the gossipy stuff. I loved the Muammar Gaddafi stuff. Have you seen this?
I have not. It's just for those of you that have just woken up, tuned in, whatever. WikiLeaks has dropped a bombshell cache of U.S. diplomatic cables, is what they are mostly, ripping the cloak off scores of secret deals, including clandestine North Korean support for Iran. Blah, blah, blah. The disclosure is more than 250,000 back-channel cables that include brutal candid assessments of world leaders and previously undisclosed details of nuclear and anti-terrorism activity. Obviously, the State Department trying to get them
to There are a few insults of international leaders in there, too.
Yeah.
Just a few spitballs?
Yeah.
So what's the Gaddafi stuff?
The Gaddafi stuff is it's from 2009, and they say, you know, things like how obsessively crazy he is. He can't walk more than 35 steps, like upstairs. He cannot climb more than 35 stairs and will not fly for more than 8 hours. But the best is Gaddafi relies heavily on his longtime Ukrainian nurse, who has been described as a voluptuous blonde. And he has a rumored staff of 4 Ukrainian nurses that could cater to his health and well-being.
Awesome. Why can't he walk up however many feet?
I think it's just crazy. I think it's a crazy rule.
Just as a diva thing. You mean not?
Right.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
That's
not a physical thing.
That's why he had to have the Bedouin tent in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Because that would require him to not climb stairs.
Yeah.
And
obviously the State Department trying to stop this. Gates said, by its very nature, field reporting to Washington is candid and often incomplete information. It's not an expression of policy, nor does it always shape final policy decisions. Nevertheless, these cables could compromise private discussions with foreign governments and opposition leaders. And when the substance of private conversations is printed on the front pages of newspapers across the world, it can deeply impact not only U.S. foreign policy interests, but those of our allies and friends around the world. So what did you think was the most damaging stuff?
The most damaging stuff? I mean, the thing that I found was possibly the, I think that the stuff that might come back to bite us hard is the things, and some of this hasn't come out yet. It's going to be released over the next nine days, I think. Some of the things about North Korea that were, that there's already plans going on about what happens after North Korea collapses. And I think that, you know, that's going to just piss off North Korea even more than they're pissed off already, since they're in a, seem to be in a perpetual PO'd state. There's fun stuff like the like trying to get rid of the Guantanamo detainees, and offering Slovenia a meeting with President Obama if they take a detainee.
Right. Right.
Yes. We got how many detainees? It's like name that tune, you know? Mm-hmm. How many detainees will it take for you to meet with the president?
You know, I mean, I got to say, though, speaking of embarrassing stuff, have you seen Fair Game?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
It's a story we all know because we were there of, the outing of Valerie Plame. But, you know, you watch that just when you think, just when I'm done being pissed off at the Bush administration, you watch it again and go, why aren't these people in prison? I mean, you know, that if you go back and really hear that story about the run up to Iraq, you're like, these are war criminals. Like, how else can you spin it? And you go, if that's not embarrassing enough for the United States, and we didn't do anything about it.
Right. But that was mainly because, well, I think that other countries were more outraged than Americans were, because, or that a lot of, most Americans were at the time. And so our outrage meter is calibrated so weirdly in America that there's, for us, there's nothing in here that's going to make us go, oh my God, that changes everything, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but it just, I think when you see it laid out with such stark detail, again, you go, wow. You know,
yeah.
this meme they keep repeating on the right that, oh, you know, that's so crazy and liberal to say they lied about the weapons of mass destruction. They lied. They twisted and cherry-picked and then showed the faulty intelligence to others. And then what we'll see, he says they have weapons. It's like, well, because you showed him the stuff that you know is a lie. I mean, if you got to see Fair Game just for historical purposes, you know,
sure,
to remember.
And the other thing about all of these cables and all of this information was someday going to come out. And so,
right.
So when these things are written, they're not necessarily written with an eye to history. They're written with an eye to and some immediate goal, but they do become historical documents. That's why they're kept.
Right.
You know, there's documents I think that go back as far as 1966 or something like that in what's being released.
Right. Right. Now, speaking of not historical disasters, but future disasters, you are the only person that's been able to make me feel better about the horror that is Sarah Palin that has been foisted upon America. But you say
that wasn't my intention at all.
Well, you suddenly made me, because you're like, you're right, we are stuck with her, but it you somehow made it. You said, you write this week, we all know what's going to happen. She's going to believe the Walmart shoppers and shut-ins and horny rednecks who tell her at her book signings to run for president. And she'll run and be an idiot on the issues and a to everyone around her, and then she'll blame everyone else for ruining her chances, when in reality, in a rare moment of clarity, Republicans will vote for another bug insane candidate, the one who didn't say on her own reality show that she got millions of dollars to do what she thinks she thinks it sucks that people invade her privacy, and she's just regular people like you and me over there who must have a TV studio in your home so you can tell Sean Hannity what regular people think.
Yeah,
that's a piece of writing there. That's...
Well, thank you. Diagram that sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No,
mm-hmm.
Thank you.
But you go on to say there's something almost laughably darling about Sarah Palin, class warrior. When Barbara Bush, the OG of political women bitch slappers, said of Sarah Palin, I hope she'll stay in Alaska. Well, that dream's long gone, and of course Palin wasn't going to take it. Like someone telling the head cheerleader she might not be prom queen, Palin smacked back, I don't think the majority of Americans want to put up with the blue bloods.
Yeah, where does she... okay, yes, I understand that the nouveau riche sometimes get angry at old money. But that's all this is. This is a money fight, some with crisp bills, some with worn-out ones. And I just thought, you know what? What if a Democrat? What if, you know, if when Dennis Kucinich says something like that,
right.
It's oh my God, he's a socialist. It's class war. We're gonna take the money away from the rich in order so that the poor can buy Cadillacs. You know, whatever. And Sarah Palin can get away with it because she's couching it in these terms like she's such a rebel and outsider going against the machine when she wouldn't exist at all if it hadn't been for the Republican machine.
Well, and as you point out, just the hilarity of her not realizing how ironic it is that she's on her own reality show complaining about people invading her privacy. I mean, it's, you know.
Oh, and talking about that, I mean, I've only watched bits and pieces. I can watch like 5 minutes of it, and then my brain starts to melt inside my head and leak out of my nose.
Yes.
But you just realize that this is just some kind of glory hogging media prostitute who is going to ride this as long as she can, and she's going to run for president.
Oh, man.
If she runs for if she doesn't run for president, that her expiration date passes.
Right.
Nobody cares.
But the good news, you know, in terms of entertainment, that's what I'm saying made me feel better. As you said, nope, Palin ain't going away. We're stuck with her in 2012 at least. So let's just revel in her thin-skinned, rapid response to any slight insult or sarcasm. Let's all gather around the old Facebook like in the holidays of old and sharing the undiminished stench of her tartary that she masks in a cheap perfume of every chick wisdom. I mean, that is the fun part, is how thin-skinned she is.
Oh,
right?
And I love that her Thanksgiving message wasn't, you know, here's what I'm thankful for, you know, oh, I'm thankful for Bristol, and I'm thankful for Willow, and I'm thankful for the first dude's, you know, big member.
Yes.
And not that I know anything about.
No.
Anyway, but that instead she uses it as an occasion to say, hey, I may have had a slip of the tongue about North and South Korea, but look at all the things Obama did. I'm thankful that I can mock him, is essentially what it says.
Yeah, by the way, it was on Glenn Beck's radio show, which of course you refer to as Glenn Beck's radio masturbatorium of mystery and imagination. She said, you betcha we have to stand by our North Korean allies. And as you say, people jumped on it. But, you know, the other subtext for that is who was the campaign, you know, the McCain campaign person that said she didn't know the difference between North and South Korea. So,
right.
You know, you could go, oh, she just misspoke, or you could go, this is part of, she really doesn't know anything.
Right, and that the other times she was just consciously aware of which one she was talking about. But if she's just speaking without thinking, she's automatically going to make an error. The idea that this is that we are discussing her as somebody that has a serious shot at the presidency, in some ways, again, to go back to the Ronald Reagan thing that we always go back to, where we often wonder how we could have lived so appalled under Ronald Reagan. Now we look at Reagan compared to Palin and go, well, this is like having, you know, Einstein head your science department to having Palin there.
Yeah. But the fun part, as you conclude this post, is we could just sit back and say, yeah, one more nudge and this crazy bitch is going to go Norma Desmond on us.
I am big. It's the picture that got small.
When she loses the nomination, she is going to lose her freaking mind. And, there was actually something interesting I read that said that this is all part of a plan, that if she loses, she can blame Republican establishment.
Sure.
And then in a way extort the nomination next time out of Republicans. But I think the game is that she doesn't want to be president, but she needs to run in order to keep the brand fresh.
Yeah, she'll just be picking off Republicans from a helicopter above the Capitol if she doesn't get the nomination, don't you think?
That's great. And you know what? The nice thing about most of the Republican candidates is you could hide them in a snowbank.
I got another establishment Republican.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Rude and delightful and hilarious as usual. We'll see you next Monday.
All righty.
All right. There he goes. The rudepundit.blogspot.com. 40. I know. 48
minutes.
Well,
we have a link to it at stephaniemiller.com, so
we
can just say that.
I was up all night doing that.
Uh-huh.
48 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is a happening spot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hmm. Stephanie Miller.
I don't care what you say. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Go, Christina. 53 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. Max in L.A.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, baby.
A great holiday.
Thank you, honey.
You know, I heard you talking about Ronald Reagan, and, you know, I grew up in the 70s, and I watched shows like Bob Hope's specials, Dean Martin's Celebrity Roast, and on Laugh-In, Dan Rowan had a segment called Future News of the World. And it was always bizarre, crazy things that you would think would never happen. And one of the predictions, they were like predictions, and one of his predictions was Ronald Reagan getting elected in 1980. And it got huge laughs because Ronald Reagan was a punchline. He was a go-to punchline on Dean Martin Roast. Mm-hmm. Nobody thought this would happen. And Sarah Palin is certainly stupid.
Well, Max, but that's what people keep saying. Oh, don't underestimate her. They did that with Reagan. But, I mean, she's not even vaguely Reagan.
No, you would not think she is. But in the times we live in where you have an entire news network like Fox that is dedicated to distortion, you can tap into that.
That's true. That's true. There was no Fox during Reagan's day.
And if there was a Fox in that day, Nixon would have gotten off. I mean, it's...
Yeah, 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 exactly. They would have spun that.
He would probably have gotten a third and fourth term if Fox had been around, but...
Yeah.
I do have faith that people are smart enough to see through this, and I don't think she will ever get near a nomination. But looking at Ronald Reagan, you know what? He was a big punchline like her, too. You guys have a great day.
All right, honey, you too. All right. Oh, he'll take no further questions.
Oh, he'll take her answer off the air.
Apparently. Wow. I mean, that is the question of the hour, isn't it? Are we really dumb enough to elect Sarah Palin president? Has Fox News and, 24/7 right-wing radio and yada, yada, yada.
Whatever.
Dumbed us down to such an extent that somehow they can spin Sarah Palin.
The worst has been elected, I think.
Into the Oval Office. All right. The president, did I mention he's had kind of a bad year? When you end the year with 12 stitches in your lip. Oh, by the way, but you know what? He got back on the horse. He was back on the basketball court with his daughters. He's choosing some different opponents. He was back on the
basketball
court.
They're not tall enough to give him a fat lip.
Exactly. Sasha and Malia joined their father yesterday morning for some hoop time. See, that's what you do. You got to get... Get right back. By the way, did the Secret Service shoot that guy that elbowed him or no?
Who was it? Do we know who elbowed him?
Yeah, I forget. I don't have the name in front of me.
Okay.
But yeah, he's ahead of Hispanic something.
I think it was Mitch McConnell.
I don't think it was Mitch McConnell,
no.
Jim. Hello, Jim.
He's got game, Mitch McConnell.
If you hit Mitch McConnell in the lip, does it get fat?
I was going to say, there's not even room for 12 stitches. You can't even find his lip.
That's what happened to my lip, actually. Playing hoops.
All right. The president talking about the...
I'm very streaked.
Yeah.
Talking about his year on Barbara Walters.
This Thanksgiving, look back.
Oh, well.
What's been the rose and what's been the thorn?
Well, I've got a lot of roses. My family's happy and healthy, and they're doing wonderfully. We have been able to make progress on a lot of issues that are helping a lot of people. Now, on the thorn side...
The Republicans.
The fact that we haven't been able to make a bigger dent in unemployment during the course of this year, and that's something that, will keep poking me until we solve it.
So the Republicans are not the woes?
What? What? Wed woes is? Well, how romantic. That wobble lot of woes is, aren't they?
What happened to your whip?
By the way, speaking of Mitch McConnell, a question for you. Jim Martin writes the story of the turtle and the Chinese princess. Steph, everyone's heard of the princess and the frog, but what about the Chinese princess and the American turtle? Former Secretary of Labor Elaine Chao was clearly the most gorgeous person in the Bush administration, not that there was much competition. So why did she marry Senator Mitch McConnell? It had to be because turtles are highly revered in Asian culture. They live a long time.
Stop it!
And nobody else likes lettuce anyway.
I've never heard of that.
I think that's a good point. Thank you, Martin, for that. It's true. Why would you choose Mitch McConnell? Except that, it's something she couldn't help herself.
That's not the only reason people get together with Chinese people.
That's the only reason they get together with Mitch McConnell, with Yertle.
He was outsourcing his wife job. That's all about.
All right.
All right. 58 minutes after the hour, Eric Bollard from Media Matters of America joins us to co-host Right Wing World next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Edie McClurg joins us for Mondays with McClurg in just about an hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, and me, Stephanie Miller. Let's see. Jeff did with yet another unsolicited testimonial to the power of the Steph Show and the Steph sponsors. Steph, thank you so much for selling Cedarside Best Yet. It's flea and tick spray. Natural. Mm-hmm. Red Texas Cedar Oil. The product has worked like a charm. After 4 treatments of our whole facility, we now have no signs of bed bugs. We are looking at putting a planned maintenance program in place to fog once a month with Best Yet Solution to maintain a healthy environment free of bed bugs and other pests.
Sweet. Hey.
He's from Canada. What's that all about? Bed bugs in Canada.
Oh.
Not anymore.
It eliminated the bed bugs from the Chesterfield.
Thank you. They were getting in the poutine.
It was a real problem.
Exactly.
So we spilled some cedar side on it, and, you know, I thought it was like, you know, beer or something, but it turns out it like kills the bugs, eh? And it smells nice.
Was that in the WikiLeaks? The embarrassing Canadian bed bug problem? Oh, here's something that was in WikiLeaks. Yeah. I knew those shirtless pictures of Putin looked gay. It's the odd friendship developing between Putin and Berlusconi. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the pair shared lavish gifts with each other.
I give you many, many gifts. Oh, Sylvia, Sylvia, come sit in my sauna. I will hit you with birch branch, and you'll like it. And I will get to see your marvelous cannelloni one more time.
No, stop it!
All right. All right, let's, you know what, it's Monday.
Hey, what's the matter, you? Upstairs, no downstairs.
Oh, boy.
Time for Eric Bollard.
That's a spicy meatball.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard. Come on, baby. Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
What's your favorite WikiLeaks? The right wing going crazy over all of it, of course, right?
Yes, they are. And didn't Sarah Palin put something up about how if she could stop leaks of her book, why can't the government stop WikiLeaks?
Yeah, right.
She did.
Yeah, she did.
Yes.
Yeah. Because they're the exact same thing.
Yes, yes. And what another excellent analogy, Caribou Barbie. Thank you. By the way, speaking of Caribou Barbie, great piece this week on the whole Tina Fey thing when she got the Mark Twain Prize at the Kennedy Center. You know, she made, well, obviously the controversy happened because PBS edited this stuff out, a lot of the jokes that she did, correct?
Yeah, and that's what happens when the right wing goes after NPR and goes after PBS and goes after public funding. I think there's sort of this knee-jerk reaction within public broadcasting of, okay, now what do we do to make sure we don't get in trouble from conservatives?
Right.
So they edited out these jokes, and the ombudsman later said it was a big mistake. But one of the jokes they edited out was Tina Fey talking about how Sarah Palin made rape victims pay for their rape kits.
Yeah, she said, politics aside, the success of Sarah Palin and women like her is good for all women, except, of course, those who end up paying for their own rape kit and stuff. But for everybody else, it's a win-win. But you know, the more important thing, like you said, is the right-wing bloggers went nuts and said, oh, that's a lie. That
right.
was, you know.
Right. Tina Fey is bringing back that rumor and that myth about the Wasilla rape kits when Palin was mayor. Of course, it's true.
Yes.
All of it's true. It's all documented. She signed off on the town budget. Her chief of police was quoted in real time in a local paper saying they did it. So, as I pointed out, the press, I think, got scared away in 2008. They sort of bought into this idea that that story had been debunked.
Right.
It hasn't. It's all legit. And if she runs for president, the press is absolutely going to have to go back and revisit it.
And once again, the fake reporters, like the anchor of Weekend Update, a better reporter than any regular mainstream media reporters. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? All right. Oh, boy. Glenn Beck, still trying a little last-minute TSA fear-mongering?
Yeah. Nah. Everything. From the TSA, everything. They are trying to make you afraid. Oh, I don't want to go through that. I don't want to do that. I want... No. I'm not playing your game. That's what they do. They intimidate and cause fear. Have no fear. Have faith. That's what conquers it.
So by they, you mean Michael Chertoff.
Yeah, exactly. You mean by the Bush administration guy.
Exactly.
This from a guy who I'm pretty sure does not fly commercial these days.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And of course, you know, as we saw on Thanksgiving Day, this appeared to be a whole lot of nothing in terms of people being scared and afraid. And right, this was part, the TSA was part of Obama's army, which is now... you know, working the airports as well, according to Beck and Fox News.
Yeah. No, I mean, it would have been hilarious, you know, had George Bush still been in office, this all would have been fine, and you would have been a terrorist sympathizer.
I will not submit to this tyranny. I will fly in my own gold-plated jet, and I suggest you all do it, too.
Okay. All right. Oh, speaking of which, oh, gosh, they just can't get enough of Pelosi and the big private plane thing.
Members of Congress don't have to go through this. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, they should be sent through twice.
They don't have to go through it if they're accompanied by guards. It only applies to the leadership. However,
it's worse
than that. Half of them are millionaires, and they can afford to fly privately, and they don't have to go through any of this, nor does anyone who flies privately.
And those of us who grew up in big families, frankly, we're used to far worse indignities.
Yeah. Well, I'll be glad when Nancy Pelosi gets off the government jet. I want to see her groped at Reagan National Airport.
Hello. Settle down, Cal.
You know, Eric, I think you were one of the people that noted this whole ridiculous Nancy Pelosi's planning. First of all, she flew commercial far more than she, you know, flew on the
right. And Denny Hastert, after 9/11, he was told the Speaker of the House should fly these flights. Uses the military jets, so Pelosi did as well. And the right wing tried to make a whole big thing about it. What's interesting is, you know, in the TSA and the members of Congress, one of the first reports after this began to bubble up was John Boehner, because he said he was going to fly commercial, and the New York Times did an article about him going over to Reagan and just sort of waltzing right past the security. And if that had been a Democrat, if that had been Nancy Pelosi, it would have been a thing for days. But because it was John Boehner and a Republican,
listen, I think
the echo machine didn't go crazy, and now we're still talking about Pelosi for some reason.
Yeah. Well, it seems to me that's a national security risk, having John Boehner fly a commercial when, you know, you can't smoke for that many hours. God knows what he's gonna do. He has access to alcohol and...
I'll blow up my own underwear if you don't get me a drink.
All right, Eric Bowling at Fox News Weekend on the TSA.
Here's what we should do. Privatize it. Fire them all. Let independent companies come in.
No.
Take it over and then do this. Aggressive profiling, not just behavioral profiling, cultural profiling as well. Get the airways safe again.
Huh.
Ah,
there's a twofer. You fire anyone who's in a union, and then you just institute sort of across the board profiling.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yes.
Yeah. That would have stopped D.B. Cooper.
Yeah. All right. Sarah Palin on the Fox and Friends.
The vast majority of Americans don't have a problem with the manger scene or with some reflection of the true meaning of Christmas. So when the politically correct come in and want to squash that and take that away from the enjoyment of most Americans, you know, it gets a bit frustrating. And yeah, I go on the offense like most Americans do and say, no, we'll have Christ back in Christmas, and hopefully it won't offend you, because we put up with a whole lot of other things that perhaps we don't personally believe in either.
Put up with a lot
all those Muslim creches that's sprouting on government property.
Putting the Christ back in Christmas.
Yep.
I love it.
She's
I love
a,
it.
She's Lisa. She were commander in chief. We'd win the war on Christmas. We know that.
Oh, I know. And you know, it's funny. I mean, Bill O'Reilly started this like 4 years ago.
Yes.
And now it's just like a running joke. And the rest of the people at Fox can't really seem to bring themselves up to launching another crusade. And every year, it's
do you think they get the memo? They're like,
oh God.
And even O'Reilly doesn't do it anymore. Every year, you know, we sort of wait for the onrush for the war on Christmas, and every year it peters out. Maybe Palin will finally come through because it's endlessly amusing.
Exactly. All right. Andrew Napolitano, on Alex Jones' radio show.
I think the president wants to subjugate us, Alex. I think the president, who falsely claims that he believes in civil liberties, who took an oath to uphold the Constitution, and who could stop all of this with a phone call to cousin Janet Napolitano, has placed armed and unarmed uniformed agents between private carriers and their customers at the most critical juncture, barking orders, demanding conformity, threatening arrest and fines. I think this is the beginning of an effort of this president to use powers from some source other than the Constitution, an argument his predecessor made, to get us to conform to his will.
Wow. Barking orders? Like, you can't get on that plane with this bomb, sir.
Well, the judge is really sort of skating on thin ice over Fox. I mean, he is obsessed with Alex Jones. He's been, right. Talking him up for over a year. Alex Jones obviously claimed to fame was in the 9/11 stuff, and now he's back on the air, and Eric Bolling is calling him out for it, and other people are calling him out for it. So it'll be interesting how far it goes, and whether Fox News wants to basically continue to mainstream Alex Jones.
Yeah. Well, yes, stay tuned. All right, John Scott on Fox News Watch.
Yes. Climate change conference is set to start in Cancun, Mexico on Monday, and with that, we can expect to see the mainstream media shouting about the dangers of global warming. But with increased skepticism raised by the ClimateGate scandal just 1 year ago, when all those emails surfaced showing a lot of disagreement among scientists who study climate change, maybe it's time for the granola-crunching press to change its doom and gloom message.
Wasn't the ClimateGate stuff debunked?
Right, this stuff. Yeah. Right. I think we talked about this last week, a couple weeks ago. The ClimateGate was not debunked. If you live in the right-wing world, if you watch Fox News, none of those four or five independent reviews existed. ClimateGate is what they want it to be, which was this hysterical claim that they had finally, you know, proven that climate change doesn't exist. So the ClimateGate story, the first 3 weeks exist, the next 6 months don't. And so this is Fox News as a purely propaganda outlet, just sheer repetition of misinformation, and so everyone could nod their head and say, yes, ClimateGate was a home run for us.
I'm sorry, it was hard to understand that you were not finished crunching your granola. Eric, we appreciate you taking time for us. As always, see you next Monday, my friend.
Okay, talk to you.
There he goes. Eric Mueller, from America, granola cruncher. All right.
Does that make us granola crunchers?
Apparently. Anyone that believes in crazy science and global warming.
I actually had some granola this weekend.
See? 18 minutes.
You're a granola cruncher.
Oh, God.
18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Weird, weird, weird. W-I-E-R-D, weird.
That's not how you spell weird.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I say I don't like
Stephanie Miller.
But you know I'm a liar. Ooh, liar.
Samson and a liar.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right, so Congress is starting up today, isn't it? We're in the lame duck. Here we go, everybody.
Historically, lame ducks are only supposed to run a week. This one is probably going to last about 3 weeks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now's the time to get stuff done.
Yes.
We still have a majority.
Nothing's going to get done.
But we don't want to offend the Republicans.
They're not like on real time. Can you imagine telling your boss, we can't really do anything. So we've only got 3 weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks. Why not show up?
Only Congress can get nothing done in 3 weeks and still keep their jobs.
Well, actually, I feel like be there for hours doing our jobs.
Yeah.
What?
As Congress prepares to take up extension of the Bush tax cuts during its lame duck session, Republican lawmakers have been unanimous in demanding the cuts for the richest 2% of Americans be extended, claiming they are necessary for economic growth and the tax cuts miraculously pay for themselves.
Okay, if you say so.
Uh-huh. By the way, guess who thinks that's a bad idea? Reagan's budget director.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Mm-hmm. President Reagan's former budget director took on his own party for pushing this, quote, faulty logic. David Stockman criticized today's Republicans for misreading Reagan's legacy by adopting a theology of tax cuts. He said, I will never forgive the Bush administration for destroying the last vestige of fiscal responsibility that we had in the Republican Party. He called the 2001 Bush tax cut was totally not needed. That's we say this over and over, but what has happened to the Republican Party? This is they always cite Reagan, and they don't look at the SALT treaty. He was for zero nukes. Mm-hmm. They're not even going to pass the SALT treaty. Start treaty. But I mean, tax cuts. I mean, here's the frustrating thing to me after these midterms. You look at like poll after poll on issue after issue. Americans largely agree with Democrats mm-hmm. on the issues, and they voted for. You didn't vote for that side. I mean, how frustrating is that? You're like, yes, Americans think the tax cuts for the richest, 2% should expire. Well, you should have voted those people then. 70% think don't ask, don't tell should be overturned. Didn't vote for those people. Look at this one. Voters would change the Constitution to limit corporate spending in elections. Well, guess what? That's what happened with the Supreme Court decision.
Yep.
Because
Citizens
this is
United.
What happens in elections. There are consequences. Mm-hmm. And we got those Supreme Court justices. And now,
Democrats wimped out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's fine. Yeah, John Roberts, Scalia. Oh, no, okay.
When do you see those kind of numbers, by the way? What is it, 90-something percent of Americans think, donors should have to be disclosed? It's like,
who cares
well,
what they think? How many millions can I give to my campaign? Okay, shut up then.
When the Supreme Court invalidated a decades-long ban on corporate spending in federal elections in their Citizens United decision, it was by the narrowest of margins, one justice.
Yep.
A new poll shows by double-digit margin, voters want Congress to use a constitutional amendment to overturn that decision and once again restrict corporations from directly spending on elections. Short of a constitutional amendment, which of course requires, it's practically impossible. It requires a two-thirds vote in both houses of Congress or ratification by three-quarters of the states.
Mm-hmm.
But at least the Disclose Act offers another possible way to remedy the worst aspects of Citizens United. Republicans, not for that!
Of course not.
Where were the previous champions of campaign finance reform, like John McCain? Hello? John McCain? Oh!
It's not the policy. It's not the policy. It's not the policy.
Apparently.
John McCain's fallen in line.
No, McCain-Feingold. I mean, this decision was a poke in the eye to that, and he's... Oh, well.
It's just to get back at Obama.
Who are those liberal commies who voted for that? Feingold. She's not even American.
Meanwhile, McCain. We don't even have Feingold
some
anymore.
Kind of,
I know. All right. Senator Lindsey Graham on the tax cuts.
There will be bipartisan support in the lame duck to extend all the tax cuts for 2 or 3 years. And I think that vote will be had before the end of the year. And if the president doesn't support that, I think he's running a risk of making the economy weaker at a time where he could help make it stronger.
Yes, because these policies have made it so strong now. Mm-hmm.
Those policies are in place now. Where are the jobs?
I just, that's to me the biggest anomaly of this midterm. How do you run on fiscal responsibility and smaller government when the first thing they're trying to get to is adding how many trillion to the deficit with this tax cut for the rich? It's just, Warren Buffett, once again.
The rich are always going to say that, just give us more money and we'll go out and spend more and then it'll all trickle down to the rest of you. But that has not worked the last 10 years and I hope the American public is catching on.
Mm. Yeah. According to the elections,
computer says no.
Not so much. Not quite yet. How about this one? I love this. Speaking of polls, Republican. All the Republicans ran mostly on repealing the health care.
Yep.
But apparently, they want their own government health care.
Right now,
as we know. Uh-huh.
Yes.
You remember Representative-elect Andy Harris, hypocritical demand for government-sponsored benefits. He ran on repealing government health care.
Well, not for me.
Representative Joe Crowley, a Democrat of New York, began circulating a letter calling on Harris and other members of Congress who want to repeal the new health care law to forego their own government health care plans. A new public policy poll has found most Americans think incoming congressmen who campaign against health care should put their money where their mouth is and decline government-provided health care. But they won't because they're a great big
wheel of right-wing hypocrites.
This is what you voted for. I'm losing it. 29.
You are. Are you okay?
29.
Need a drink?
Yes. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm Chet Gilbetcher with a horrifying news break. The world is ending and things are in mass chaos.
How will this affect your holiday weekend?
Hey, that guy's good.
It is the Stephanie Miller
Show. Watching
that
show. What was that called again? Oh, The Fairly Odd Parents.
Starring Jim Ward.
I'm
Chet
Gilbetcher. I'm incredibly tall.
Well, no. He's very short, you see.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800.
I'm the tallest newsman in the world.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Jerry in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Steffi boy. I was wondering how long it was going to take you guys to get to the subject that you're on. Do you guys really think we got what America wanted with this last election? We got what Karl Rove wanted with this election. You guys are concentrating on money from companies. Concentrate on our money that disappeared in Iraq, all those skids of money that just disappeared and nobody did anything about it. He flipped the races that he needed to flip to get our good guys out. And if you go to Wisconsin, there's no one there that wouldn't vote for our guy that was there. And also the same story with Grayson. These guys have never did nothing, honestly. Sarah Palin's little ugly daughter couldn't even be on TV and be on a damn show without them cheating. They cheat on everything.
All right, Jerry. All right. That was a little stream of consciousness. All right. Thank you for all of this.
Well, you know, the voting machines are still there. Mm. So,
by the way, one of the people I'm going to miss, David Obey, speaking of things I love from Wisconsin, Russ Feingold, and you know why? I knew he was a man after my own heart. You know what he says he's going to do now?
What?
A lot more drinking.
Oh. It's from Wisconsin, after
my
all.
My man. Yeah. Candy Crowley said, if you could fill in this short sentence for me, after I leave Congress, I am most looking forward to... Obi said, playing more music and perhaps increasing my allotment of gin and tonics.
It's not bother if I'd be increasing his allotment.
You can only be honest when you're leaving politics. Yeah. I'm going to be drinking mostly.
Well,
Candy.
No. Boner's still in office.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Hey,
what?
Speaking of drinking and Republicans, Tom DeLay's going in the hole, ladies and gentlemen.
If conservatives don't stand up to liberalism, no one will.
Will you ask the president to show me his gift certificate? Gift certificate. His birth certificate?
I'm guessing that he spent a little time at the Barfi's Bar and Grill after the verdict came down, huh? Yes. In case you missed the breaking news, former Republican Majority Leader Tom DeLay, convicted on money laundering charges. The verdict came down 5 years after DeLay was forced to step down as the second most powerful Republican in the U.S. He faces up to life in prison.
I bet his dance card would be full. Dance card, get me.
You see, dancing
those little
style.
Red disco shoes are going to be coming handy.
He had concocted a scheme to funnel corporate money from his lobbyist allies into Texas state politics, illegally circumventing state law, barring corporate money, which is all legal now, by the way.
Yeah.
DeLay's front. Texans God. For a Republican majority then use that money to elect a new majority of Republicans to the state legislature and gerrymander the state so DeLay could elect more House Republicans.
Conservatives saw the savagery of 9/11 in the effects attacks and prepared for war. Liberals saw the savagery of 9/11 attacks and wanted to prepare indictments and offer therapeutic understanding for our attackers. That's not slander. That's the truth.
That's the truth.
So I should get therapeutic counseling instead of this whole prison thing.
He did, by the way, he would like to praise the Lord for his life sentence.
Oh.
Praise the Lord for what's going on here.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Number one. And number two, I'm not going to blame anybody.
No.
This is an abuse of power. It's a miscarriage of justice.
Oh, okay, so you're blaming others.
And I still maintain that I am innocent.
Right.
Uh-huh. That the criminalization of politics undermines our very system. And
you criminalize politics.
And I'm very disappointed in the outcome.
I'm not going to blame anybody,
but I'm blaming everybody else.
This is miscarriage of justice. It's that Colonel Kenyon who forced me in.
You didn't even take a breath from saying I'm not blaming anybody before you blame somebody.
Exactly. Except the president and all the liberals.
The judge and the jury.
And the whole system.
Criminalization.
I remember he coined that phrase, the criminalization of politics. You know how you might want to get the criminals out of politics and into jail. That's how you might.
Yes, you indict them.
Decriminalize politics.
That's a good start.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Good Lord.
I'm not going to blame anyone except that Kenyan commie Nazi in our hands.
It's just another felon off the Fox payroll.
Oliver North still...
Yes.
On the payroll over there?
Sure.
But he's not technically a felon.
Well, don't you find that, Jim? Most Fox commentators, whether it's Rove or DeLay, you're just kind of like, shouldn't he be in prison? Or is he going to prison? Is he on his way to prison? Or G. Gordon Lee? Oh, he's already been in prison. Like, you know, just all of them are kind of like, yes.
Is Scooter Libby a Fox News analyst?
No.
Oh.
He probably was, though.
Probably because he's in prison right now.
Yes.
Isn't he?
I don't know. He got
commuted. That's it.
Okay. Yeah.
He should be in prison.
That's exactly my point. When you watch the Fox News, you furrow your brow and think, is that a convicted felon off on a technicality? Which is it? Going to prison soon? Was in prison?
Should have gone to prison.
Yes, exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. All right. The president, we already played the first Barbara Walters quip. Mm-hmm. When she asked him, which were the roses and which were the thorns? Do you think one of her producers just has a good sense of humor?
Yeah.
Just like Tom Brokaw's writer that used to, put a lot of L words in by...
What the hell am I doing in Louisiana's Slovenia?
Do you think they were high-fiving? Like, she actually asked the roses question. Let's put in some more R words. Mr. President, which one of roses this year?
Y'all are mean. A wreath of roses.
Were they wed roses? President Obama, in a wide-ranging, reflective interview with Barbara Walters, staunchly defended his policies, including health care reform and economic stimulus, as bold but necessary steps to transform the economy that was on the brink of collapse into one that is growing. The notion that somehow you can only do one thing at once is simply not true. He said the fact is we stabilized the financial system. We turned an economy that was contracting into one that was growing. We have added over a million jobs the last year to the economy. That's the thing that I think is lost in the fact that things are still not great is, I think, I can't remember what the number was last month, but we're adding jobs.
Right.
People are hiring. It may not feel like it to you yet, but it's
moving in the right direction.
Yeah. Despite the intense criticism and political cost, the president said the healthcare overhaul will be a lasting legacy I'm extraordinarily proud of, which I think is true. All right. What the hell are you hearing about the don't ask, don't tell? Anybody? Bueller?
Don't ask. Just don't ask.
If we can't get this done, something that 70% of the American people think should be overturned.
We're not going to get it done.
Military thinks should be overturned.
Not going to get it done. Nope. Sorry.
Is it me, or is John McCain at this point, is it just to be a petty little asshat?
A petty little asshat. That's totally what it is.
He's just when he thought he was bitter during the campaign, could he be more bitter about losing the election to President Obama? He's just a nasty
I'm not a petty asshat. I'm a commissioned asshat.
Nasty little bag of ass. Yes, Gates wrote him a letter. He dismissed that. He attacked Obama as inexperienced
Oh.
for promising repeal. So several weeks ago, he refused to accept the findings of the Pentagon's working group review of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, insisted the Department of Defense conduct an entirely new study.
Right. Until they get one that he likes.
Yes, on the effects of the morale and battle effectiveness, blah, blah, blah. So, Candy Crowley asked McCain to respond to a letter he received from Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, in which Gates defended the soon-to-be-released study and argued it would provide the military sufficient information into the effect of lifting the ban on gays serving openly. He said, "I do not believe the military policy decisions on this or any other subject should be made through a referendum of service members."
But he's the one who asked for the study.
Isn't that the antithetical to what a military is? What do all y'all think? Isn't that the whole point of the military, is you take orders?
That's right. John McCain asked that they ask the soldiers what they thought.
Right.
And now that he found out that they support the idea of repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell, who cares about those?
That would work well on the battlefield. Which way do you think we should go? What do all y'all think?
Let's take a
this
poll.
Way?
Show of hands.
Maybe that way.
Should we attack or should we stay here in the bunker?
Show of
bunker?
Hands.
Okay. We'll stay in the bunker.
Never
Good
mind.
Plan.
Too late. We're all blown up. Okay. Anyway, and he went on to say, the chairman and I fully support the approach and the efforts of the working group, as do the service chiefs. McCain remained undeterred. He insisted Don't Ask, Don't Tell doesn't pose a problem for gay soldiers or the military. Well, it doesn't pose a problem for a lot of gay soldiers because they're not in the military anymore because they've been kicked out.
But we lost, fighter pilots and Arabic translators and, people who have,
Sure.
We're highly trained.
Yes.
And so it would be easy to assume that everyone who isn't married in the military is gay.
There you go. Kick them all out.
There you go.
He also reiterated that the service chiefs, three of whom publicly now have endorsed the study last week, are still concerned about repeal. Just, I guess, based on... He just has a hunch. He has a hunch that maybe they're a little hinky about it.
I saw some knitted brows, which tells me they're concerned about the policy.
I thought it was not the policy.
It's not the policy. It's not the policy. Wait, it is a policy. No, it's not the policy. It is a policy. It's not the policy. I proved through geometric logic that there was a second key. The strawberries. That's where I had them.
He said the fact is this was a political promise made by...
Shirt tails hanging out in a really gay way.
Sandy Rose in the chat room says that McCain only wants soldiers over the age of 70 asked that question now.
Oh, I see. Yes. Is that how he's going to break it down?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Just a crotchety old bitter man?
That's right.
I remember in the Spanish War, after the boat blew up, I told President Roosevelt, that'd be the first President Roosevelt, Well, the reason that I had an onion on my belt
No. He said, here's the nasty, bitter bag of bass part of it for the interview. He said, the fact is, this was a political promise made by an inexperienced president or candidate for presidency of the United States. Screw you, you didn't vote for me.
Wow.
The fact is, this system is working. And I believe we need to assess the effect on the morale and battle effectiveness of those people, those young Marines and Army people I met. In fact, multiple reports have, of course, detailed the litany of costs incurred by the military, the troops, both gay and non-gay alike, and the nation as a result of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Indeed, research and experience now show the policy is a costly failure that is the opposite of the
intended effect. That's exactly what I mean. It's working.
Well,
costly failures are good.
Yeah, I think it's actually...
Look at Vietnam. Win-win.
It's bad for morale to keep this policy in place because the soldiers that are gay are working more on keeping a secret than they are, protecting our country.
Yes. By the way, his characterization of President Obama is inexperienced, particularly petty, even for John McCain, who sort of specializes in that sort of thing, since every Democratic president and candidate since Clinton has come out against the ban, including, Bill Clinton.
Yes.
In 2003, acknowledging there is no evidence to support a ban on gays in the military, he said the country should move toward recognizing the full citizenship of gay Americans and characterize his own policy as one which unfairly restricts the talent pool available to the military and that diminishes our security. It's a depressing moment if we can't even get Don't Ask, Don't Tell overturned in the lame duck. All right, 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. You can't come to party, don't bother not
was no uprising in the military. There was no problems in the military with Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It was a political promise.
It was a problem.
No, it wasn't, because it wasn't a problem, because you didn't have, it's called Don't Ask, Don't Tell, okay? If you don't ask them, you don't ask somebody, and they don't tell. And it's an all-volunteer force, okay? Now, I understand your point of view, and I understand the point of view by the majority of the media, but the fact is, this was a political promise made by an inexperienced president or candidate for presidency of the United States.
Yeah, didn't vote for me. Get off my lawn.
I expect you'll want to see my angry, crotchety grandpa discount card.
Sir, this card has expired.
But it's good for a lifetime.
Well, yours expired.
Boy. Just nasty.
Isn't that a policy? You don't ask and you don't.
Does he have no understanding?
No one's told. No one's asked. Everything's fine.
Okay. Yeah, and if his wife gets out of line, she gets pulled right back into line.
Apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you want to end up with a bandage on your arm. Okay.
I'll break your other arm, you harlot.
Okay. By the by...
used car salesman, I'm not going to like a damaged model like you.
Speaking of things foisted on us by John McCain, Sarah Palin, seriously, was that not the most rash decision of his lifetime to put her a heartbeat from the presidency?
You betcha.
Yeah, I'm reading the actual transcript from Glenn Beck's radio show. The host said, how would you handle a situation like the one that just developed in North Korea? Palin, but obviously we've got to stand with our North Korean allies. Co-host, South Korean. Palin, yeah. That's the actual. That's the actual coast. Yeah.
You put words in my mouth.
Yes. Which I know you can just go, oh, she just misspoke. Everybody does that. But this is somebody that during the campaign literally didn't know the difference between North and South Korea. Yeah. So how do you know she misspoke? She's like, of course that's what I meant. Mm-hmm.
What's the difference? They all look alike.
Oh, God.
I can't see either of them from my house, so how would I know the difference? All right, you know...
They don't look like Putin heads.
Something you'd think that we all could agree on, at least from the days of President Zero Nukes Reagan, would be the START Treaty.
Yeah.
But no, John Kyle, Republican
there
of Arizona.
You don't go again.
You can't do everything. I was stating it as a matter of reality, not a matter of policy. How can Harry Reid do all of the things we've talked about, deal with the expiring tax provisions, and in addition to that, deal with the START Treaty, which by itself could probably take at least 2 weeks?
Yes, we much more important to get the top 2% there.
Meanwhile,
tax cut.
Nuclear sites are not being inspected because we haven't ratified this thing.
Yeah.
That's kind of dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Senator Claire McCaskill, Missouri.
About the START Treaty, you know, this is really amazing to me. There's some game playing going on with the START Treaty, and it's all about politics, and it's all about trying to damage the President of the United States. And this is a moment where we need to set that aside and look at what really this is. This is a treaty that's supported by our military. This is a treaty that's supported by our allies. This is a treaty that's supported by secretaries of state from both President Bushes. We've now gone months without any verification of loose news.
Thank you.
Instead of playing politics and hiding behind the skirts of John Kyle, I hope that the Republicans look at Richard Lugar, the ranking member of the Foreign Relations Committee, who has said unequivocally, we need to do the START Treaty.
Yeah. And Dick Durbin chiming in on this as well of Illinois.
Here is the reality. We live in a dangerous world. The failure of the United States Senate to ratify the START Treaty immediately is going to pose a danger to the United States and its security.
Yeah, but, you know, you have to ask, is there nothing they won't play politics with? No, there is nothing that they...
Exhibit A, Valerie Plame.
Yeah.
Who was working to secure loose nukes.
Yeah, thank you.
And they ratted her out.
Go see that movie if you want to get mad all over again. Mm. All right, speaking of mad, wow, that's the most confusing hate letter I've gotten.
Oh, you are going to read it.
And I got a great one earlier. Well, it's just confusing. First of all, it is just in the subject line. It is also a right-wing hate letter writer that does not know how to get into the big box.
So Billy Bob couldn't get it in the big box. Okay.
And Lurleen ain't getting in the big box.
Lurleen wasn't around to show it.
Yes.
The typewriter with the TV on it don't work none.
Would have been a lot worse, I think, if he could have gotten into the big box. I have to say, of all the names I've been called, I haven't ever been called this. Hey, F word for gay man.
Oh, well,
Hey, F word for gay man. How many vaginas did you over the holiday?
Oh, what?
If well, I were an F word for gay man, I guess the answer would be zero.
None.
So thanks you for your holiday wishes for me.
It's a rhetorical question.
Oh, I guess so.
An answer. Yes.
I guess so. It's confusing. Okay. By the way, Jim, did you? I think this is worth reading again. The from Jack. Did you hear my hate letter earlier today?
Oh,
wow!
Yeah,
your show
wild.
Is the subject line, which could be a good
wow.
start.
Wow! Mm-hmm. Wow! That's terrific. Pass.
That's what he could have meant. Wow. A friend of mine told me to tune you guys in. He said I wouldn't believe it. He was right. What a bunch of anti-American liberal pap.
Yes,
pap.
Liberal.
Pap.
Liberal is anti-American.
Stephanie Miller has to be one of the dumbest.
Those damn meddling liberals defeated the Confederacy. What the hell were they thinking?
On the airwave. See, that's what we speculate is his problem. He thinks there's only one, that there is not a multiple airwaves. There's only one.
One airwave. Oh.
And that's, and there's only this dumb on it, sadly, for Jack. I'll wait for that break. It's because it gets better.
I'm sure.
And ends in a death wish.
Edie McClurg would love to hear it.
Yes. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. It's Monday, everybody.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
With McClurg.
Monday, Monday.
Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads. They all adore
it. Edie McClurg.
Good morning, Edie McClurg.
Hello, Mooks. Hello.
Speaking of name calling, you're so nice. Do you actually get called names like I do? Do you ever get hate mail, Edie McClurg?
Oh, yeah.
Do you now?
Oh, yeah. They, you know, claim that I'm, just some goofy comedian.
Yes.
So I couldn't have a brain, obviously. You know?
You are a goofy comedian with a brain, Edie McClurg. In my opinion.
One hopes I have a bent toward the intellectual rather than
I was perusing some of my hate mail. For some reason, I'm not sure if we're a meaner, dumber country, but judging by my hate mail, perhaps.
Computer says, yeah.
This is Chris, I've got yet a second email where I've been called the F word for gay man.
Another one. Wow.
It is very confusing, Edie. Again, just in the subject line, same guy, Jim.
Ah.
Because I guess I must have said something bad about Sarah Palin, and there's not even a name here. He just writes, Sarah Palin is so smart and beautiful and not an F-word for gay man. Makes you so jealous. Because she is not an F-word
smart.
For gay man, and I am, I guess.
So knowing the difference between North and South Korea is not anything.
I'm jealous because she is not an F-word for gay man, and I am. Hmm. Okay.
That makes my head hurt.
Yes. Edie, probably as one of the early feminists in our country, you're one of the fine Americans fighting the good fight for women everywhere. You wouldn't appreciate this. We were in the midst, Jim, of my... This is from Jack. Stephanie Miller has to be one of the dumbest on the airwave. C-word.
The one
C-word.
Airwave.
Only one airwave?
Well, that's the problem. He probably doesn't realize that there are other waves and
if
that there are other programs.
Airwaves,
yes.
Then...
There are other programs from which to select. If he knew there were multiple waves. I just can't believe people actually listen to that horrible... And that would be the T word for... It's a, you know, women's area. It's a woman's special area.
Starts with T, ends with T.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Twit.
I am a... Yes, sort of.
Toot.
You can't spell...
No wonder you people have to be funded by uber-elite rich socialists like Soros and his ilk. If only.
If only
where
he has
my
an ilk.
Uber rich?
He doesn't have an ilk. I mean, it's just him. And
Jim,
we're not getting any of that.
Where is my uber rich?
I would settle for a Soros substitute. I would settle for an ilk if they were to fund me. But no.
Of course, Sarah Palin will probably shoot it for the wreck.
Hi.
The elk. See, because it sounds like...
it's a kind of an elk. An elk and an elk.
You people make me sick. I hope you die. All right. Thank you, Jack.
Well, we all will eventually.
Happy holidays.
We all will and make him happy. But he'll go first.
Boy. You know what? When you're having a bad day, a bad year, yes, and getting letters like that, this one, I don't normally read stuff like this, but this is, I have to thank Patty. Can I have some touching music, please? This is, makes life worthwhile. Hi, Steph. My friend Rita Gallagher recently passed away in Minneapolis. I had turned her on to your show a couple of years ago. I know you made such a difference in her life. She had many health and family problems. I know that many times she told me your show got her through the day. Through it all, Rita had a great sense of humor, and she was a strong Minnesota liberal. I know she would want me to thank you, Chris, Jim, John Fugelsang, Edie McClurg, for all the laughter you provided her in hard times. Patty, her friend. And we give a posthumous shout-out to Rita Gallagher. Thank you.
Yeah, and that she would write and tell that. It's lovely to hear.
Yes, thank
Some
you.
Some people hear it, and they don't
I
think
thanked
it.
Her. I know, exactly. That was very sweet. All right. Wow. Jesse in Dubuque, Iowa says, Mama, I think I have a possible future husband for you. A guy in South Carolina trashed a hotel room after a man called him and told him he had to do that to free a midget trap next door.
What?
A little person?
We are. You know, that's the thing, Jim, with the TSA authority, whatever. We do tend to just do as we're told, generally. People tend to just, when they think authority is talking to them, they this guy, 73-year-old Joseph Jones, told police that someone had called his room about 11 p.m. It was a hotel, and said he was a manager at the motel. Jones said the male caller told him the previous guest had installed highly sophisticated cameras in his room. The caller told Jones not to bother looking for them. Instead, the caller would instruct him on how to get rid of the cameras. Jones asked the caller. Jones said the caller asked him if the TV was on. If it was, to turn it off and unplug it. Jones said he did as he was told. Next, he was told to remove the back toilet cover and smash the TV with it. He did that. The cover shattered without breaking the TV screen, so he was instructed to throw the TV outside. Jones did as he was instructed. The male caller told him cameras were also behind the mirrors in the room. He needed to smash the mirrors. Jones grabbed a wrench that he found in the room and smashed the mirrors. Jones said the caller then said that a midget who was 4'3" tall was barricaded in the room next to him, and he needed to help police to get to him. With that, Jones took his wrench and began to break away the wall bar between the rooms. He broke through to the next room, but then stopped due to complaints from other guests about the loud noises.
And the absence of midgets.
And the, exactly.
That was a Glenn Beck
that was
prank
a tip
call,
off the absence of a midget.
I think Glenn Beck was just sort of testing the waters to see how far people would go. They would do what they're told. Now bend over.
It really was like a social experiment. Exactly.
Oh, honey.
Oh, Edie, you knew this was going to happen. Speaking of the...
Take off your pants, stand on the balcony, and wiggle. He did it! Oh, my God!
Speaking of doing as we're told, so the TSA, you knew this horror story. We brought this up on the show, Edie. I don't know if you've been if you've flown anywhere, but it's the whole, you know, sanitary napkin thing. It's the whole feminine product dilemma.
Oh, because you it can't be seen through? Or
well,
it looks like you could be carrying subterfuge.
You look like a stick of dynamite, something. It looks like it could be. And the first story has a... humiliated female passenger subjected to pat-down because her sanitary napkin showed up on the body scanner. A female passenger has claimed she was assaulted by TSA agents when she was ordered to be patted down because her sanitary napkin showed up on the body scanner. The woman was wearing a flannel panty liner.
What?
The evidence...
Well, some people are allergic to the...
Yes.
Papery kind.
Don't make us tell you lady part secrets. Listen, Edie McClurg is an expert, having served in the shower scene in the movie Carrie.
Yes.
She's, having been one of the women chanting, plug it up, she
plug it up, yeah.
Okay. That evidently aroused suspicion, causing her to endure what she described as a horrible experience. The unidentified Army vet wrote to the women's health company, Glad Rags, to detail what happened. Is it, there's actually a company named, seriously?
Glad Rags.
Yes.
Okay.
The aforementioned flannel, whatever.
Am I on this earth right now?
Yes.
All right.
Glad Rags.
Checking.
May we help
just
you?
Checking.
These new, Glad Rags, we're not number one, but we're up there. All right, come on, I'm just saying. I didn't know there was a company named that. These new scans, she said, let's see, these new scans are so horrible that if you're wearing something unusual, like a piece of cloth on your panties, then you will need to be subjected to a search where, Jim, this is the part you'll like, where a woman repeatedly has to check your groin while another woman watches.
Oh.
You know, Jim would do the work of two women here if you asked him. Two, in my case, they were training a new girl. Oh, you don't want that. You don't want a trainee groper. You want somebody, you want
an experienced
the
groper.
Yes.
Someone who's been hanging around at schoolyards for decades.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Oh, boy. Wow. Doctors.
We just took steps backward, Jim. Yeah. Oh, Jim.
Doctors also.
Come here, kids. I need to check you for contraband and stuff.
Okay. So. Here's, are you ready
I'm beginning to question your resume, sir. What? Yes?
Are you ready for it gets worse, Edie, with this whole TSA thing? Doctors now also questioning the hygiene of TSA agents who conduct hundreds of pat-downs daily.
Oh, great.
Although they wear gloves, it's being reported that viruses like syphilis, lice, gonorrhea,
chlamydia,
strep, and
God,
other viruses can be transferred from passenger to passenger during the body searches.
Oh, great.
Another little bonus for traveling. You get some free pets. Get some free lice.
Free diseases.
Die Fahne hoch, die Reihe festgeschlossen. Submit. Submit.
Yeah, yes, you don't even want to know. That story gets really, like, into if a passenger has diarrhea. And
Then you have no business being on a plane.
Stay home, for God's sake.
Stay home.
All right. Tom in Chicago on the TSA. Hello, Tom.
Hey, good morning,
good
Stephanie.
Morning. Good morning.
This is the first time that I've actually gotten through, and I'm an over-the-road truck driver, and I always look forward to getting down to Chicago because it's the only place I can hear you.
Thank you.
But this whole talk about the TSA and the pat-downs at the airports, I just wish somebody would get sensible on this whole issue. And there's three points that I want to just quickly make because I think they're getting overlooked greatly. Number one, I read somewhere that Michael Chertoff, George Soros, and last but not least, Theresa Heinz Kerry all own stock in one or several of these companies that make these.
Well, Chertoff certainly does. I haven't heard about the other two.
Yeah, I had neither.
That mean.
Yeah, George Soros does also, and so does Theresa Heinz Kerry. And to me, that's just a conflict of interest right there. I mean, especially Michael Chertoff, you know, former secretary.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like, oh, you know, I'm the head of security. You need these to be secure. I just happen to sell them. I got them in the trunk of my car.
What a coincidence.
Yeah. But you wouldn't think George Soros, Jim, would have any money left over after funding my my various ventures.
This pap. Yeah.
That I do on the radio. Okay, I don't know. George Soros, I think, behind everything. Edie, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're paying attention to Glenn Beck's chalkboard.
Oh, Glenn and his chalkboard.
Michael Soros is in the middle of all of this. Look, I have a chalkboard with arrows connecting
Pointing.
Hitler, Stalin, Mao, and George Soros. Mm-hmm. It's all incredibly right. obvious, isn't it?
18 minutes after the hour, we continue with more Mondays with McClurg on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Because everything about this is disgusting.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Playing all the hits from 1972.
Nothing if not current.
It is our era.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Mondays with McClurg continues apace 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Chris and Yankton, messaging, Edie, that's what we need to be better at. Democrats.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
Steph, I'm so frustrated hearing Democrats talking about the Bush tax cuts. If they're discussing tax cuts for the middle class and low-income people, Democrats should be taking credit for the tax cuts, not giving it to Bush. If they're discussing tax cuts for rich people, they should be hammering the Republicans for their millionaire bailout.
Yep.
Why is messaging so hard for this stupid party?
Oh,
Chris
it's
and
so dishonest. Messaging, it's like lying.
It is. It's a millionaire's lying. Bailout. That's exactly what it is.
Oh, that's so rude.
But here's what's wrong with our country at the moment. one of the things.
Ah.
Yeah, that's a lot. This will
take some time.
As of 2009, the U.S. ranks first in the world in terms of broadband usage.
Uh-huh.
But our networks are much slower than other advanced nations.
Oh, trust me. I had two teenagers staying with me this week, and I couldn't get on my internet to save my life.
We rank 23rd in download speed.
23rd in download speed.
My voice pod is melting down as we speak.
That's appalling.
Voice bot 2000. Chris, can I make a new virtual gym on Sims?
No.
A teenager made a virtual version of me on Sims this weekend. I've never even... It's creepy.
What?
It's creepy. They
took your visage and put it on a
They don't interact with actual humans. They're on their computers all the time, either on Facebook or on The Sims, doing some sort of computer visualizations or something.
Whatever.
Something.
Could my virtual me have about 2% body fat? Can we arrange that?
Okay. Oh, me too.
I had a great virtual ass. That's the only thing I was excited about. I was like, oh, that's nice.
High and round?
Yes, yes, and I was able to cook, which,
wow.
Oh, you know what was weird, though, Jim? Mm-hmm. My computer, you know, what do you call it, me, it dances exactly the way I do.
Oh, you just can't get away from that. That jerky.
She is equally as bad a dancer as I am.
Exactly.
Dance like a Sim. That's just no one we're looking.
Yeah, it's been a bad year. That's why I'm trying to find Funstack. Somebody that had a worse day than you did. Akron, Ohio, Edie, clown robs woman who was sitting on the toilet. That's a bad day.
No.
When you're sitting on your can and get robbed by a clown. An Ohio woman was surprised by a knife-wielding robber in a clown mask while sitting on her toilet.
That would be surprising.
But wow!
You're in the right place for that, I guess.
In her own house?
Yes. He demanded to know where she kept her drugs and money. I don't know why the clown would automatically assume that you have drugs, but okay.
Oh, you want Rush Limbaugh's house.
Yeah,
yes.
Those diabetes pills.
She said, I said, boy, did you break into the wrong house.
Yeah.
And then she said, I thought about doing ninja stuff to him. But I thought, no, he's faster than I am. So I more or less just sat there on the lid. And apparently that was enough.
Well, did he get away?
That wouldn't
anything?
Be my first thought. I think I'll do ninja stuff. I would think there's a clown in my house.
If you've been studying ninja stuff for 10 years, that would be an option. But having seen it on TV isn't really
No. This is a bad day. Comedian spends his life savings on his bucket list after being wrongly told he only had 3 months to live. Oh, dear.
Oh,
don't you hate when you do that?
No!
And then you're broke.
Well, he had life savings?
And now
what?
He's broke and
then you're
still
like,
alive.
I'm going to live.
A comedian was able to save some money?
A comedian has money? What the hell? A comedian was told he had 3 months to live by doctors and promptly set about completing his bucket list.
Jokes on him.
Ha ha. Tee-hee. Deva Ismay, do we know him? I don't know him. Was told that booze had left him with deadly liver cirrhosis and he had just had months to live. He was baffled, having never been a particularly heavy drinker. He immediately started a list of things to do before he kicked the bucket, only to find out 10 weeks later doctors had gotten his diagnosis wrong. He did not have cirrhosis of the liver, but in fact was suffering from a hereditary condition, too much iron in his blood.
Mm-hmm. Which is also dangerous.
Wow. Yes, but not fatal. And now he's broke.
So are they going to have a benefit for him at the Laugh Factory?
Probably.
Yeah.
Doesn't everyone get a benefit at the Laugh Factory one of these days? Why haven't they had one for me since I have no money from George Soros or his ilk? I would like a benefit at the Laugh Factory. You know, that was one of my jobs. I used to answer the phone at the Laugh Factory, and I used to put the comedians' names up on the marquee with the little pole. I had to put one letter up at a time.
Yeah, what's the name of the owner? Is it Jamie?
Jamie, yes.
Okay.
Yes. I used to have to go buy him his pumpkin seeds and answer the phone, and the letters used to drop on my head, and I was bitter, and I was like, someday my name's going to be up here. Ow! Another R hit me in the head.
You had enough coordination to put the letters up on the sign?
No, I wasn't very good at it.
You weren't very good at any of your jobs, were you?
It looked like a Scrabble board exploded. I was like, oh, that's good enough. Screw it.
You weren't a good cocktail waitress.
Paul Provenza's name is entirely too long anyway.
Yeah.
You weren't a good cocktail waitress. You weren't a good airplane cleaner.
No.
Yeah, but it shouldn't
I'm not
be
a good
Paul,
radio host.
Paul Prozac.
You don't have to be good at things. What's your point?
You give a good interview, I hear, and then that gets you the job.
Thank
and then
you. But the magical end to that story, yes. Edie, one day my name was up on the Laugh Factory marquee. Somebody else, some other loser had to put my name up there with that big pole.
My name has never been up on
really?
The Comedy Store.
Let's have a benefit to get
Factory.
Edie McClurg's name up on the
just
Laugh Factory.
Just to get the name up for one night.
I played the Laugh Factory when it was just a hole. It was just a
the Laugh Hole?
Out. No,
me
just,
too.
It
when it was half
no,
the size, that was another place. I was a cocktail waitress.
Oh yeah, it was a little.
It was
tiny.
A crummy little.
Yes, I was
joint.
A cocktail. I answered the phone and I served drinks.
Oh,
and, huge.
And it was, and that was back before they had like a full liquor license. And so there was these little husband and wife that did it, and they didn't
right.
have enough glasses, and so they always used to yell at me, "Darling, get the glasses. Get some glasses back." I'm like, "Well, they're not done drinking. They're not. We don't have enough glasses. You must get them back."
Ariana Huffington worked at the Laugh
yes,
Factory.
Yes, exactly. And that's the end of that story. I worked for Ariana Huffington.
Ariana!
At the Laugh Factory. You literally had to yank glasses out of people's hands. You're like, you've had enough of that now. We need that glass. 29 minutes after the hour, back with more Mondays with McClurg on The Stephanie Miller Show.
And trivia!
Stephanie Miller.
You can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me
Stephanie Miller.
Aww. Leslie Nielsen.
We rest in peace. 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, it's a sad beaver stack today.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Leslie Nielsen, best known for his roles in Airplane and The Naked Gun, died yesterday from complications of pneumonia. He was 84. I loved him.
Oh.
Did you ever work with him, Edie? No. Did you know him?
No, I had never met him, but it was he was one of those really handsome men who could
yes.
also be funny.
I know.
Which is really, you
well,
know,
that's how
wonderful.
He started, like, spoofing his earlier roles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, he played just sort of the, you know, the handsome, whatever, leading man. He was hilarious.
When they were doing Airplane, Lloyd Bridges couldn't figure out that he was talking to Robert Stack. You know, gee, Rob, I don't get it. What's the joke here? I'm not getting the... Lloyd, don't you get it? We are the joke. It's just the fact that they were showing up being
right.
totally deadpan serious
right.
in the context was hilarious.
One of my favorite movies ever,
oh,
Airplane.
Yeah.
Yay.
Oh, yeah.
Loved the Airplane.
Oh.
I should pick the wrong loop to stop sniffing glue.
Not to slight Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, starring Edie McClurg.
Yes.
Plane movie is...
Ferris Bueller.
But strong support. Let's just say I'm strong support. I have sturdy little legs, and I can hold up any scene added.
Although, speaking of your sturdy little legs, you have an ice pack on your knee. What's happening?
Isn't it
What's
cute?
Happening there? You said someone ran into you? What do you mean, in their car? Or?
Yes, I was on foot in the Hollywood Bowl parking lot 2 years ago, and a man ran me down with his car and ran away.
No way.
But there were two young gentlemen who saw it happen, and I yelled, "Stop him! He hit me," because I heard him driving away, and they ran after him and hit their license plate into their cell phone
uh-huh.
and brought it back to me.
Wow!
So we're going to depositions in a couple of weeks.
Great!
Wow! It's you're icing it 2 years later. That's quite a
really all the cartilage is gone.
Oh,
yeah.
Honey, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, that was a depressing story. I'm sorry I brought that up.
Well.
Maybe
I can get some money for it.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
I might have to have a knee replacement. Who knows?
Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I did. I had, it just went on and on and on. Because
Doesn't it always seem like it does?
Well, we had an orphan's Thanksgiving on Thursday. A lot of people who live, you know, her families are out of town.
Right.
So we all got together and potluck it. And then...
Yeah, a lot of those in Hollywood. A
yes,
lot of little Island of Misfit
yes.
toys. Yeah.
And then the next day, one of the Second City guys has a day after Thanksgiving leftovers
right.
party.
Right.
So everybody brings their leftovers.
And we did it again.
And we did it again.
Angelina Jolie hates Thanksgiving, apparently. This is kind of, I don't know, going to the harsher buzz as an American. Angelina Jolie hates this holiday and wants no part in rewriting history like so many other Americans. To celebrate what the white settlers did to the Native Americans, the domination of one culture over another just isn't her style. She definitely doesn't want to teach her multicultural family how to celebrate a story of murder. Angelina gets so grossed out by Thanksgiving, she has to make sure her family will not be in America this year on Thanksgiving.
Hmm.
Blah, 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 blah. Bummer.
Wow. She is a bummer.
Okay.
She's a very good actress and very pretty, but a bummer.
A bit of a bummer, exactly.
Debbie Downer.
Did you hear that? I don't know if this was Thanksgiving trouble. Did you hear that Leonardo DiCaprio, his flight, did you hear about that? He had to make an emergency landing last week?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't get on a boat that he's on, because right away that would seem like bad.
But then he played that fake guy, didn't he?
He played the fake airline captain.
Right, yeah. Right.
Maybe that's why they had to make an emergency landing, because he's not really a pilot. I don't know.
Christopher Walken.
Yes, that one. Yes. He was involved in a midair scare when the plane he was flying on was forced to make an emergency landing. He was on a commercial flight to Moscow when one of the aircraft's engines shut down, which is not good as far as I know.
Yeah.
So they had to return to JFK in New York. They reported trouble soon after takeoff. It returned to the airport after dumping fuel over the Atlantic Ocean.
Was it an Airbus by any chance?
It was a Delta 767, Jim.
Oh, it's Boeing.
Yeah, Jim's the flight. He's the aviation
airline
expert.
It's not the,
thank you.
He then signed autographs for airline staff.
Of course he did.
All right, we're alive.
But
here's
not while they're driving, I hope.
No.
Right?
No.
Okay.
No. Willie Nelson, he doesn't fly, right? He only has a bus. He has that bus. A U.S. Border Patrol spokesman says country singer Willie Nelson was charged with marijuana possession after
what?
6 ounces of...
I'm
was
shocked.
Found aboard it. Wouldn't that be more shocking if no marijuana was found aboard Willie Nelson's bus?
Willie's
they
dry.
They found 6 ounces of marijuana
six ounces.
Willie Nelson's bus?
That's it?
He should have patted himself down before he got in the bus.
Exactly.
Oh,
dear. All right, Jim, I don't know, even for you, we hit the squeezy music, but what's her name? I can't say the singer's name ever. Kesha?
Kesha.
She sings the TikTok and the other songs all the kids
Your Love is a Drug.
Your Love's a Drug.
Mm.
You know what we're talking about. Needy doesn't have any idea either.
She wears these tight sort of outfits with little lights on them that glow in
yeah.
the dark.
All the people that are just one name, I have a, I
yeah.
get them all kind
but
of
this
confused.
But this is our culture today. It's people you don't really know who they are being asked about things that you don't really care about. You're sort of like, I don't
show.
Know.
That's entertainment.
Exactly. Someone, an interviewer asked her, what turns you on that people would find bizarre? She said, quarters.
What?
Huh?
Quarters?
Yes. She said, like a bag of quarters.
That's weird.
So a guy holding a bag full of quarters would potentially turn you on? Yes. Like a big bearded guy with a bag of quarters.
Oh, okay, then.
Oh, my. I guess it's when you go to the laundromat.
I don't
meet up with a guy with a big bag of
quarters. I don't know why I needed
quarters.
To know that.
I guess she was hoping she would... He would toss him in a slot of some kind? I don't
hey!
Hey! Squeezy.
What?
Come on. I don't...
Not today.
I don't... That's the problem. There's just too much information today. People must share their every thought via Facebook or Twitter or something, and I don't even know who that matters to. But we will never get that minute of our life back, thanks to me. All right, Chris, could you take your organ out for me? Bristol Palin, did you watch the Dancing with the Stars?
No.
No, either did I.
I did watch the end. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
She says that prayer got her through it.
Prayer got her through it.
She said it is faith.
And a lot of carbs. A lot of carbs.
Edie McClurg.
They hit the fast food
yeah, it's not
every night.
Yeah, it's not a marathon. You don't need the carb load. Dancing with the Stars.
Everybody else got skinny on that show, and
huh.
she
got bigger.
Packed it on.
She said it is faith that got me through this and just praying all the time and just, you know, maybe a little time for dance lessons might have helped a little more. And just praying.
She didn't pop out of her dress.
Yes, and just praying all the time. Just relying on God, knowing that He is on our side and we'll get through this. No, I think He was for Jennifer Grey.
Yeah.
I do. Listen, if God is worrying about Dancing with the Stars, we are all screwed.
Yeah.
But isn't there just a tiny little thing somewhere, an addendum or something, that they can choose who they want to win, the people who run it?
What do you mean? Oh,
the votes don't really count.
Oh, really? Well, how does it work, Jim? There's judges, and then there's, you know, people can call in. Freepers.
I think the judges' votes have 50% of the weight, and people calling in have the other 50% of the weight. I think it's something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Palin had 100% of the weight, according to Edie.
Oh, come on now with the fat jokes. Come on, everybody. Come on.
No, I'll burn in hell for that.
Edie, I need to know what you demand on your movie sets. Johnny Depp has insisted on a $1.6 million trailer on the set of his latest movie. He was reportedly unhappy with his portable dressing room on the set of Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, which wrapped last week. He was given the huge sum to pay for the work of an interior designer who created a Moroccan-themed chill-out area for the star to...
He's been hanging out with Keith too much. That's,
I think so.
That sounds like a Keith thing.
That seems like kind of a way. It's just temporary. It's not like it's something. It just goes away as soon as the movie goes away.
You just need.
Do you need an interior designer for your trailer?
No, you just need a good bed to lie down on when you get that little snippet of time.
Sure.
And you need some water for tea. And that's about all.
Is that all that's in Edie McClurg's writer?
Yes. That's all. I just need a place to lie down.
Your writer needs a writer.
And some water for tea. That's all.
Somebody needs to. You need to go back to diva school.
Oh, I need to go. I need to be more demanding.
Yes.
Or and then I'd have a bigger career. Excuse me. I don't think so.
She
couldn't look people in the eye.
You give and give. You demand nothing.
Where's my slave to peel my grapes?
All right. So the latest, the 2012 poll, Edie, I don't know what hope you have for America, but...
Not much.
No. A new Quinnipiac poll. Those poll chose Mitt Romney over President Obama by a slim margin, while Obama still held a slim lead over Mike Huckabee. Sarah Palin lags behind the president by 8 points. However, the poll also shows that she would defeat Romney in a Republican primary.
Wow.
Ms. Palin is viewed the most negatively by the American people of the possible Republican candidates in 2012. She is viewed unfavorably by 51% of voters and favorably by 36%.
Well, wasn't Mitt kind of passed over, and wasn't she kind of passed over?
Well, you know? I mean, no, but this is what they're saying the dilemma is, which potentially could be good news for Obama and Democrats, is that she could win the Republican nomination, and then she presumably, if these negative approval ratings are true, would get crushed in the general election. Okay. One would hope.
Of course, they thought Reagan would never get in too.
Yeah. Well,
he's a nut job, Reagan.
It would be the best election ever for comedy, though.
Say what?
I want Al Franken to be president.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That would be awesome. No, I mean, but for comedy alone, a debate between Sarah Palin and President Obama. Come on.
There you go.
I mean, I rest my case. All right, 45.
It's just that voice. I can't stand that voice anymore.
Okay, President.
And gals.
Smarty pants.
Guys and gals.
With your book learning.
45 minutes after the hour. All right. I can't even take your impression any longer. That was long enough. Thank you.
Thank you.
We continue with Mondays with McClurg on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it. I don't get it, but I love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Woohoo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. As we continue with Mondays with McClurg, Tony writes, Steph, I remember when you were a waitress at the Laugh Factory. I'm still waiting for the beer I ordered. This will definitely affect your tip. Still waiting for that beer from 1983.
Flat by now.
Here now is Edie McClurg with more things that are wrong with America.
The U.S. ranks 27th, nearly last among developed countries when it comes to investments in education, health care, and other vital social needs. Who needs those social needs? Yeah. And most developed nations have recognized that affordable child care is a necessity for working parents and a key investment in the cognitive and social development of children.
How do you spell cognitive?
Yeah. In 2005, the U.S. spent only 0.4% of gross domestic product on early child care and education, ranking 28 out of 37 countries.
Is that good or bad?
Yeah. 39% of children aged 3 to 5 were not enrolled in any type of nursery school, preschool, or kindergarten
awesome.
In 2008.
They're
the
sniffing
thing is,
glue.
If they mm-hmm. don't get that
eating
early
paste.
Stuff
right. yep.
in their brain, how to learn, it doesn't... It,
yep.
it just diminishes, and it's a point of diminishing returns.
Obama's
makes
a
me
Nazi.
Crazy.
Obama's a Nazi, commie, Kenyan atheist.
You know, I spent the weekend with my oldest, my best friend, who is a psychologist at a maximum security prison. And she talked about that. That is the biggest problem, in her opinion, in the country today is education. This is why, you know, so many people end up, you know, in prison. Tom Friedman had a great column in the New York Times yesterday about just, you know, what is sort of what the midterms were about. And I don't think it's even about Republicans, Democrats. It's like the feeling that the country is broken and that nobody knows how to fix it or nobody's going, you know, neither side is going to come together to try
it. Hey, the people have spoken.
Yeah, and they said, dur. Rob Reiner was just on the show talking about this. He's very passionate about education, and my friend is, by the way, yeah, she's a psychologist at Soledad. At the maximum,
the prison.
Yes,
yeah.
The guys that are worse than the regular guys that have to be segregated from those guys.
Yes.
And it's her job to have a clipboard and go, yep, he's crazy. This one's still crazy. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. That's because he only got through second grade. All right. You know, Edie, it's surprising I can even make it through today's show, what with the whole Joe Scarborough suspension from MSNBC. Uh-huh. Is it over yet?
Now, why did he get suspended? I'm sorry.
It's campaign contributions. The same thing Keith Olbermann got. It's so ridiculous. I think we only have one more day to go, Jim, and then we get our morning Joe back. Thank God.
Suspended.
You know who I hope gets a show on MSNBC? Our friend Alan Grayson.
Yeah.
You think he will?
I don't know. He's awesome. He's just, did you see his thing he did, Jim, on the, he's a teacher speaking of education. Because he does, he drives the right wing crazy, but he says things very clearly and understandably to the ordinary person. They're about the lame duck session starting today. They're going to start, obviously tax cuts are going to be the big, the millionaire's bailout, as we call it. Anyway, he took to the House floor to visualize the impact of the Bush tax cuts on the wallets of the richest Americans. He explained that for the top 1% of income earners in the U.S., those who earn at least $1.4 million a year, the Bush tax cuts would give them a tax break of $83,347 a year. He said, let's give some thought as to what the high end and the high and mighty might do with that money. Using floor charts, I love his charts. Not since Ross Perot have I loved charts so much.
Now here's the deal, see.
He explained that $83,347 a year was enough to buy 800 expensive cigars. That's one for the morning, one for the evening, and light each of those cigars with a $100 bill.
Oh, man.
He also went on to say what else you could buy with that. The rich were giving them a Mercedes-Benz E-Class car every year, an elite designer handbag every year, a bottle of wine bottled in 1787 every year, 2,000 jars of Grey Poupon every year.
That sounds pretty
good. And so for all of it, you can say thank you, Republican Party. The American people, of course, side with Grayson, apparently believing that at a time when income inequality is higher than since the 1920s, the richest Americans don't need extra tax breaks. A recent CNN poll found 64% of Americans want to let tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans expire, which is why they voted for the other side that doesn't want that because...
Grayson should be our Frank Luntz, you know, craft messages for us, since the Democrats seem to be so... Yeah. So bad at that.
Yes, piss poor, as it were. Yes, here's who we do vote for, Jim. Guys like this guy, Texas State Representative, has introduced a birther bill.
Mm.
That's what you voted for.
What is that?
That's what
birther is...
They think the president was not
born in
born,
Kenya.
Was born in Kenya.
On Mars or
something.
Mm-hmm.
That whole controversy.
Yeah.
Yes. Texas State Representative Leo Berman... A man best known for declaring that President Obama is God's punishment on us is putting his anti-Obama rhetoric into action. He introduced a House bill which would require any candidate for president or vice president of the U.S. to show his or her birth certificate to the Texas Secretary of State.
Well, let's run right down and do that then.
He says this bill is necessary because we have a president whom the American people don't know whether he's born in Kenya or some other place.
So come on down to Texas. We'll tell you what to do.
Don't know what all.
Here y'all can shove it.
Didn't they want to secede from the Union? Why should anything be?
Why? Why is anyone against that? Okay, bat crazy Michelle Bachmann. That's another person you voted for, Republican. She was on the BBC. Mm-hmm. They questioned her about her charge that Obama is very anti-American. Rather than apologize or walk it back, Bachmann dug in, repeatedly answering the question with a litany of right-wing anti-Obama talking points. She said, I've been very concerned about the policies that have come out of the White House, and I share that agreement with people who voted at the ballot box, blah, blah, blah. They're rejecting the federal government foray into buying and owning an equity share. The interviewer said, but that's a different thing. Do you think he's anti-American? Do you think the president of America is anti-American? Bachmann said, the policies that are anti-free enterprise are the ones that are not familiar to the people of the United States. And that's why we saw such a strong reaction at the ballot box.
Which would those be? Which policies are those?
She didn't say. Then she was then asked about her ridiculous claim that Obama spent over $200 million a day on his trip to India. That number, of course, has been widely debunked, as they say, in the actual journalism business. Bachmann justified her lie by claiming it was fair game since, quote, major national figures in the United States, many in the media, had already been using that figure.
Oh, well.
Because Sean Hannity said it, so how could it possibly not be accurate?
Was said somewhere by someone, therefore it's true.
Yeah, she means major national, like Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh,
right.
And so it must be true. Eric, you know, I have to say, Eric Erickson, he's the right-wing guy CNN hired.
Uh-huh.
He's one of the only ones stepping off the reservation. He has said her continued defense of the India trip lie is absurd, and she should admit that she's wrong.
Hmm. That's unusual. I guess he won't be appearing on Fox much anymore.
Exactly. He said her $200 million claim is absurd and an affront to common sense. She should probably come out and say she's wrong, but she won't because she is bad crazy. Edie McClurg, we can find things about you at your website.
No.
IMDb.
IMDb. You can only find out things here on the Stephanie Miller Show every Monday. All right. Thank you, Edie. We'll see you tomorrow on the
Farewell.
Stephanie Miller Show.